Well, good morning, 3CR. It's Friday morning. It's jolly cold in Pretoria. For you, it's Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon, or maybe you're watching this through the week. But we're in our fourth week of a series called Rockstar, and I'm about exactly what a rockstar is not. Middle-aged, graying, plump guy, and I'm not going to get on any stage with the guitar. The rockstar comes from the book of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, he's a stone, living stone, precious stone, cornerstone, capstone, a rock. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, he's the morning star, the first star that comes up. And so we are suffering trials of many kinds now, some economic, some relational, some psychological, some emotional. But it's a tough time to be alive right now in the world. And we've had all sorts of movements starting, and there's a lot of tension. And so we're reading this book through the foundation of Christ and the direction of Christ, the star that gives us direction. In Philippians, it says that we are to shine like stars in the universe. And in the book of Jude, when he's writing about some Christians, he says you're like wandering stars. People can't take their direction off you. So what we're meant to do is we're meant to create a foundation in people's lives because of Jesus, and a direction in their lives because of Jesus. And so as we study the books of Peter, we're actually saying these are some of the ways that we can shine in this world at this time with all that's going on, and actually give hope and destination to people at this time. So the rock star is not me. The rock star is not our church. The rock star is Jesus. And so we're going to continue to read the book of Peter today, 1 Peter chapter 2. And just for those who haven't slotted in, there are different ways of reading the Bible. The first way is just every time you read a book, you put every single name of Jesus that you find, or every name of God in that book, you write it down. So this passage of scripture, Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the overseer of our souls. Jesus is the shepherd. Jesus is the example. So we write that down. Then we write down everything that he's done. Then we go to the bottom of the page and we see what Old Testament scriptures are referenced. And we write those down and go and read them, and we get the whole context. Today, it all just happens to fall into S's. And when we put the scriptures up, we'll highlight the S's. And I'm not making it happen, because sometimes we can use our imaginations. But these S's all exist inside this text. So let's go from verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens. You know what an alien looks like? When we see aliens, it's like E.T. phone home, an alien. We are strange. We're not meant to be here. We're not meant to fit in here. We're not meant to get our oxygen supply from here. We're not meant to get our affirmation from here. We don't belong to this world. It's like we're visiting. Our identity and our worth comes from another world. I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world. Strangers. Hey, have you seen strange people? The Bible says you are strange and I'm strange as a Christian. I urge you as alien and strangers to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. Second is, submit yourselves. There's a difference between obedience and submission. Obedience, you have to do. Submission, you choose to do. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted amongst men, whether to the king as the supreme authority, or to governors, or to the government. Mr. Julius Malema is a member of our government. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to the government. Mr. Ramaphosa, Mr. Steenhuisen, Mrs. Nkosazana Zuma, Mr. Julius Malema, who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. So what are we? Are we free men or are we servants? Well, we both. How does that work? That's how the Bible works. We're free men and we're servants. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Slaves, submit yourselves. Now, Michael Eaton says this is the very worst form of employment there ever was. We still have this in parts of the world, but most of us don't live under this. But if this applies to the worst form of employment, surely it applies to your employment, working for an unsafe boss in some of those high-rise buildings in Sandton. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, and not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering, because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and you endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called. Friends, we have South African preachers that go to America twice and they come back speaking like Americans. And they start prophesying over God's people. Hallelujah. Praise God in Jesus' name. I'm going to see a manifestation taking place over your life. I see God's blessing. Hallelujah. I see provision. I see fruit falling off the trees. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I see rainbows. Have you ever heard a guy prophesy and get up and say, you have been called by Jesus to unjust suffering? You don't hear it preached. It's a calling to unjust suffering. Because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. And when they hurled, say hurled with me, hurled, violent action. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have turned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Friends, it's a great text, and it's really about authority. Peter, the guy who went toe-to-toe with Malchus with a sword, who cut off Malchus's ear, was told by Jesus to put away his sword and to learn a completely different style of authority. And that authority actually has got power. And so I want to share with you five or six S's today. The first one is this: I am a stranger in this world. I am a stranger and an alien in this world. And so when people think my actions are strange, they meant to be strange, friends. And the reason they were called strange, we mentioned a little last week, is because they believed in the sanctity of life. And so they ended abortion. Not because they didn't believe in abortion, but because they believed in the rights of an unborn child. The second thing is they stopped infanticide. They stopped killing a boy who was born when you wanted a daughter. You could kill your child. They believed in the dignity of life. They believed that sex was for marriage. They believed in the liberty of women. Now, if you ask people now about the church, the first thing they say is the church is conservative towards women. The early church believed in the liberation of women. And when God speaks to husband, he says, you must treat your wives as equal heirs of the promises of God. The church is the place that liberated women. And they also were the first organization to believe in multicultural ethics. And they were called strangers. A little bit later in 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, if you no longer go with them and get drunk, people call you strange. Friends, we are meant to be strange. And we are meant to be aliens. And that word alien leads to the word alienated. And when we get alienated for our faith, we have to expect it and we have to honor it and we have to entrust ourselves to Jesus, because we weren't meant to fit into this world. We are meant to live differently to this world. God says, don't pull out of it. You must be holy but not separate, but your behavior will be strange in the eyes of people. Keep up the strange behavior, friends. These are difficult times, and our strange behavior will eventually win people over who will put their trust in the rock and in the star. The second area is the area of submission. It's a horrible word in today's terminology. As you hear that word submission, everybody wants to chuck things off, because the bottom line is every single one of us have got issues with authority. All of us. We are rebels and independent inside of our hearts. And the scripture just before this says we are precious stones being built into a holy temple. That means alongside other different stones, and we have to learn how to live codependently. But we are brutally independent and brutally in charge of our own lives, remarkably selfish. And one of the concerns with me with the lockdown is that actually you're doing church your way, on your terms, in your bed or your lounge at the time that you prefer. And when it opens up again, you're going to rather prefer to do church your way than what God wants, which is to meet together and never ever give up the fellowship of the believers. And so make sure at this time, friends, that you do not become fiercely independent, but keep yourself submitted. Submitted is simply this: aim low. Just aim low. Whatever situation you're in, aim low. Now let me give you a few misconceptions about submission. Is submission universal? Does it apply to everybody? No, it doesn't. Submission and authority, the way the Bible speaks, can never apply to people who do not know Jesus. It is impossible. Submission and authority are only possible because my heart has changed and because the Spirit of God is inside of me. And so the submission thing is not placed upon people who are not members of the faith community. It's an impossible job. Number one. Number two, is submission gender specific? No, it's not. It's not. The Bible doesn't just call women to submit. It calls everybody to submit. It says submit yourselves. It's a gift that I give to my government. It's a gift that I give to my boss. For wives, it's a gift that you give to your husband. For members of a church, it's a gift that you give to your leaders. And if you think authority is some kind of a power struggle or some kind of a power journey, this is what the Bible says. You are an elder in the church that I have bought with my blood, Jesus says, and when you get to heaven, you'll give an account. That keeps me awake at night. The cost of anything precious to me, if I buy a car, I insure the car, I polish the car, I put the car in a garage and it costs me rands and cents. Jesus says to me, the price of my people is my blood. You better insure them. You better take care of them. You better make sure they're clean. You better make sure they're healthy. You better make sure they're protected. And when you get to heaven, you're going to give an account for them. It's major things. So the first thing, it's not universal. It's just for the faith community. Number two, it's not gender specific. Number three, is it generic? Do all women have to submit to all men? No, that's not what the Bible says. It says, wives, submit to your husband. It doesn't say all women must submit to all men. That's what people think in the church. And number four, is it kiss my brains goodbye? Is it like mindless acquiescence? It's like, I must just submit to my government. Well, Peter says in Acts chapter 4, he says, it is better to obey God than it is to obey man. So how do I submit? I just give my gift. I aim low as a citizen of my nation. And I want to say this, friends, I said it in 2 weeks ago, for Christ's sake, Mr. Ramaphosa, as a citizen of this nation, I submit myself to you for Christ's sake. That word, friends, Lord, is Kyrios, which means the sovereign authority. I am under a sovereign authority, and because I'm under a sovereign authority, God has asked me to submit myself to my government. And we can, he didn't say argue, he just said submit. Do I give up all my rights? I don't submit when the government move into sin. God has got a protection mechanisms in place. He's not telling me to kiss my brains goodbye. But he is asking me to be a good citizen of this nation. And so do I think it makes sense when you can buy a hot Woolworths chicken but a restaurant can't have it? I don't think it makes sense. Do you think it makes sense when you can buy a long sleeve shirt but not a short sleeve shirt? I don't think it makes sense. But that's not my argument. God is dealing with a far deeper thing inside of my heart here, which is an independent streak and the ability to rule my own life with nobody telling me what to do. And God says, would you submit at this time to Mr. Ramaphosa and to his government? And I'll say, yes, Lord, I will for your sake. Let me tell you how many of you have criticized Julius Malema. And I'm quite sure he's worthy of a lot of criticism. But he is a governor appointed and voted by the nation of South Africa to be sitting in our government right now in his red uniform. I can say this. Honestly, I've prayed for Mr. Malema every single day that he has been in Parliament. I've prayed for him. And we've got too many Christians criticizing our governors, our government, without spending any time praying for them. And I'm asking you, friends, in the name of Jesus, submit to our government. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about the implementation of their governmental rules. Right now, we're under lockdown. Does it make sense? A lot of it makes no sense. But God is more interested in getting my heart under submission than he is about my protest. And that's a challenge. And you can fight me. You can go and read it. It says this. I want holy men everywhere to lift up holy hands and pray, number one, for the kings, for those who are in authority. Romans chapter 13 says God has placed those men there. Mr. Ramaphosa is a gift from God to this nation at this time to rule our nation, and you and I